You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and it is good as always to be in studio as we answer your questions from around the United States and Canada, and from around the world as well. I want to start the broadcast. We're going to go right to the calls in just a second, but I want to start the broadcast today by affirming what I believe with respect to creation versus evolution. Reason being that, as many of you know, internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. I believe that all evil in the universe, whether natural catastrophes, nature red in tooth and claw, spiritual, physical, death, all evil is directly attributable to the fall of Adam and Eve into lives of perpetual sin terminated by death. I take Genesis 1 at face value. Therefore, I hold that the creation days are literally solar days. However, they are not intended to provide a chronology of creation, but to reveal God's purposes in creation. I do not take an anthropocentric view of Scripture. God's purposes with respect to people, however, is clearly the point of Scripture. We need to recognize that God is revealing an unfolding plan of redemption for humankind, such that we can be reconciled to Him for time and for eternity. I also want to say this, I have great difficulty stomaching the notion of theistic evolution. And that is not only from a biblical perspective, it is also from a scientific perspective. And then I believe that we have to take seriously interpretation of the biblical text. If we do not, we may well find ourselves marching into the kingdom of the cults. Why is it that Mormons think that God has feet and hands? It's because they don't know how to interpret Scripture rightly, starting with the early chapters of Genesis. And unfortunately, there are progressive creationists today that do likewise with the biblical text. They simply misread the intent of the author. Job 9 is a classic case in point. He shakes the earth from its place. He makes its pillars tremble. He speaks to the sun, and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens. That last phrase being used now to prove Big Bang cosmology was a biblical prescription. This is an ancient way of talking about Big Bang cosmology. Now, whether or not you believe in Big Bang cosmology is not the point. The point here is to say that this passage has nothing whatsoever to do with Big Bang cosmology. And to use it in that way is to do violence to the intention of the author. And we might just as well then say he makes its pillars tremble and suppose that the earth is founded on pillars. The point simply is this: we must learn to read the Bible for all it's worth, or as I am more fond of saying, mine the Bible for all its wealth. Indeed, it is a mine full of wealth. Gold nuggets plentiful, but you're never going to get to the gold if you don't know the art and science of biblical interpretation. I deal with that in a special way in my book, Has God Spoken?, which is a book that demonstrates the Bible to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and laid out in a mosaic by which you can actually remember the information, and therefore prove in an epoch of time in which the Bible is under siege that the Bible is indeed sustainable. Not only sustainable, but ever more brilliant as a literary masterpiece in an age of scientific enlightenment. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up today is Ozzy listening in Florence, Mississippi. Hi, Ozzy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Doing fine. I have a question. My brother is actually dealing with a little doubt, and his doubt is that he doesn't understand where God came from, who made God, why, you know. And I try to explain to him, you know, well, we're not the ones to, you know, question God. We are, you know, simply supposed to have faith in God, you know.
But not blind faith. So it's legitimate to ask questions like that. We're never called to blind faith. We're called to faith in evidence. We're called to truth. In other words, we're called to believe in that which corresponds to reality. And I usually explain this in three basic points. I say that unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal. And therefore, as an infinite eternal being, God logically can be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause. Therefore, he is uncreated. Secondly, to suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe must have a cause simply leads to a logical dead end. In other words, an infinite regression of finite causes never answers the question of source. It simply makes the effects more numerous. And then the third point is this. Simple logic dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion. It didn't spring out of nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. And it has not eternally existed, as the Greeks once thought. The law of entropy predicts that a universe that has eternally existed would have died an eternity ago of a heat loss death. So the only philosophically plausible possibility that remains is that the universe was made by an unmade cause that is greater than itself. We simply know intuitively that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. This is true with respect to the universe in which we live. But there's no necessity to suppose that the laws which apply to the universe in which we exist apply to the creator of the universe in which we exist.
Wow, okay, excellent. Well, I appreciate it.
You got it, and I've written about this in various places. The most succinct rendering of what I just said is found in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition.
I actually have that book sitting right here.
Well, you can look it up. I don't know what the page number is, but you can find it in the index.
Okay, and what actually would be the question?
Who made God?
Who made God? All right. Well, I appreciate it, and God bless.
God bless you. And this gives me an opportunity to say that the support team is a team made up of people who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. I've mentioned this a number of times, but this is a make it or break it month. This is the end of our fiscal year, June 30. Of course, that's not far away. It's right around the corner, and therefore, We're asking people to make a substantial commitment to this ministry so that we can make up a critical financial shortfall. And it's crucial to make up this shortfall by June 30. Again, that's the end of our fiscal year. And your gift to help overcome the shortfall by June 30 is critically important. We're dependent on friends like you, so I'm asking you to send your best possible gift postmarked by June 30. And remember, for those who join the support team, I'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized to yourself, a family member, or to a friend. It is my way of saying thank you for standing with us, being part of a team making a difference for time and for eternity. We're up to a station break. Be right back.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jonathan. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Before I ask you my question, let me just preface this by saying I do believe that the canon is 100% closed. I believe that God has preserved his word and that everything we need is there and available to us.
Mm-hmm.
My question has to do with the book of Jude, and specifically where it talks about Satan and Michael the Archangel fighting over the body of Moses. And I've heard a couple of different schools of thought on that. One is that the body of Moses is a reference to Old Testament believers, the nation of Israel, under Moses' leadership as a type of Christ. And I've also heard that it is something that Jude put in there to refute Gnostic teachers that were teaching things, you know, at the time that obviously were aberrant in theology. And I just was wondering if you had any insight into that.
Yeah, let me give you a line of reasoning here. First of all, recognize that the early church fathers let us know that Jude is alluding to a particular work here. It's a pseudepigraphal work called the Assumption of Moses. In verse 14, what's going on is Jude quotes from the book of Enoch. So you have a precedent for Jude doing this kind of thing. He not only alludes to the Assumption of Moses, but he clearly is also referencing the book of Enoch, all in the same epistle. And there's a precedent for this, because the other New Testament writers do this as well. Paul, for example, quotes from pagan poets. And in doing so, he's not claiming divine inspiration for the pagan poets, but he's recognizing that all truth is God's truth. And he's using truth wherever it is found to point to the ultimate arbiter of truth. Deuteronomy 34 tells us that God buried Moses in Moab. No one knows exactly where, but the text tells us that. And the operative word here is God. God buried Moses. And as a result, many Jewish traditions built up concerning the death of Moses and the way in which Moses was buried. If God did this, did he use an angel as his agent? So a lot of traditions built up, and the Assumption of Moses was among those traditions. Now, the point here is that Jude found this illustration in the Assumption of Moses to be helpful. Helpful not because the Assumption of Moses is part of the canon, but helpful because there's a point here that should be underscored, and that is the archangel Michael refused to slander the devil. But rather than doing that, he puts the matter back into the hands of God, saying to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." So here's a principle extracted which points to a precedent. That precedent is we do not slander celestial beings. This is the prerogative of God. We want to be more humble. And so we rebuke someone not directly, but rather through the agency of our Heavenly Father. The Lord rebuke you. So this is the principle that's being pointed to, I think, here. And I do think that it's reading far too much into the passage or into the historical context to think that this is somehow or other some kind of typology going on here with respect to Israel and the like, as you mentioned, the prologue to the question. Back to the phone lines. Jeremy, Jackson, Tennessee. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Hank, I was asking about the last chapter of Mark after verse number 8. Is it true that those verses were not part of the original manuscript? And I'm going to hang up and listen. And if you can just give a detail on that, please.
Sure. Hey, yeah, certainly if you read most modern translations, you'll find a note inserted between 8 and 9 in terms of verses that says something to the effect of most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark, 16 verses 9 through 20. So that's what you're going to find as an inserted note between verse 8 and verse 9. The reason for this is what's called the tenacity of the text. Through the tenacity of the text, the autograph emerges. So what we have with respect to the New Testament manuscripts is a wealth of biblical manuscripts. And what textual critics do is they compare the manuscripts. The manuscripts all have mistakes, but they don't all have the same mistakes. So by comparing manuscript with manuscript, you can come to a true valuation of what is the original. So the autograph has been preserved within the manuscripts that are extant today. So God has miraculously, supernaturally, we might say, preserved his word through volumes of manuscripts. It is our responsibility to make sure that scribal insertions are not added to the text. And so in cases where the oldest and most reliable manuscripts don't have the longer ending, that should be noted. So for example, the comma Johannium, or the added clause of 1 John chapter 5, it's completely biblical in the sense that it coheres to the rest of the biblical text, but it's not in the best manuscripts. So it was added, too good to leave out, so to speak, in manuscripts. And so as a result of that, a lot of people think if you leave it out, you're leaving something out of the Bible. No, that sentiment in terms of the three are one is found elsewhere in Scripture. The same thing in terms of the long ending to the Lord's Prayer. It is completely biblical. It comes directly from an Old Testament passage, but it's not in the best, most reliable manuscript. So while it's added in passages like Matthew chapter 5, the reality is it's something that's pasted from an Old Testament passage onto the ending of the Lord's Prayer. Again, it is completely consistent with the Bible because it comes from the Bible. But the tenacity of the text allows the autograph to emerge intact, and that's the point. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Jose in Tampa, Florida. Hi, Jose.
Hi, Hank. I really admire your ministry and the sound doctrine that you proclaim from this radio station. I'm a Hispanic pastor, and I would like to make a personal call about this. I'm in a transition from a church to another place, and I already visited 5 different churches in 5 different places. And they ask for me to be their pastor, but they offer to me it was insufficient for my family to live about that kind of proposal. But I'm fighting inside of me if I did well not going to those states, because inside of me is my passion to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to have an answer from you.
Yeah, Jose, the way I would look at this is that God moves through circumstances and through people. Obviously, if people are telling you to do something that is other than what you already find taught in the Word of God, you wouldn't listen to them. But God does move through circumstances, and he moves through the Christian community to help show his will in his way to individuals like you. So you have a passion in your heart to serve God. God's opening an opportunity, a door for service in a particular place. And I think what you need to do is move in that direction, and God will either open the door wider or he'll close that door. But again, if you have this passion in your heart, I would move in that direction. Again, prayerfully, thoughtfully, with good godly counsel, but I would move in that direction and certainly would join you in prayer that God would use your move in that direction to build up his kingdom, edify his body, and use your talents. God's given you specific talents. You've got talents I don't have. I may have some talents you don't have, but God is using your specific talents to edify, equip, encourage, exhort, build up the body of Christ. I'd go for it, man.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but the thing is that I reject those proposals because I was thinking that I can hurt so much my family living on those places without having the proper assistance, financial assistance, to live with that kind of money.
Well, and that's a very significant consideration, but let me tell you something. When I went into ministry, I can tell you that I saw no way in the world that I could ever support a growing family. And believe me, our family started to grow rather rapidly, end up with 12 kids. So I didn't see any way that we could possibly do it. Sometimes I still wonder today how I'm going to make it with everything that's going on. It's difficult, but God is our source, and the ultimate thing that we want to do is learn to lean more heavily upon the arm of God rather than the arm of flesh.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.